Hello, I'm Dr. Jonathan Barker, pastor here at Amazing Grace Baptist Church in Mount Airy, North Carolina. I would like to personally thank you for taking out time today to tune in to our preaching podcast. We hope that this message will be a great encouragement to your heart today.
There was no man to care for his soul. And I want to talk to you about that for just a little while tonight. Over the past week or so, I was riding up the road, and over the past month, my mind has, I've tried my best, even when we went out of town for a few days, I tried my best to get, don't take this the wrong way, but the new building out of my mind, but it didn't work. And it's whenever, and again, don't take what I'm saying the next 35, 40 seconds the wrong way. If you're a pastor, now if you're a preacher, it's different, but if you're a pastor, your church is never out of your mind. And no matter where we go, no matter what we're doing, there's not a day that goes by Leslie and I don't talk about the church and pray for our church, because it's more than just preaching three times a week. If you put your whole heart into it and you pastor the way that you're supposed to, you carry the weight of the church every day of your life. And over the past month or so, man, we've worked a lot on this building, and trying to get things in order on it. And this week we'll be busy with it again, marking up blueprints to get sent back, and talking to the civil engineer, and hopefully we'll be hearing from PMEs this week. And we've been overwhelmed with it. And Brother Mark's probably going to block me before it's all said and done, because I call him about 42 times a day and talk about something, and he's probably thinking, man, I wish this building was done so the preacher would leave me alone. But anyway, we'll find something else to do after that, Brother Mark. But anyway, I was going up the road, and that was on my mind. And I'm going to tell you something, man, the Lord rebuked me riding up the road. And the Lord said this: what if you had souls on your mind and prayed as much for people to be saved as you have been praying for this building program and God to meet the needs of it? And he said, and now, you say, was it in an audible voice? No, it was louder than that. It was like when the Lord sits down and talks to you, you that knows what I'm talking about understands what I'm talking about. He said, yes, you need the building, but don't forget the focus of the main thing. The building is not the main focus of our church. Souls being saved and reaching our community is the main focus of our church. Boy, the Lord really burdened me about that, really rebuked me over that. I thought about this. You know, we all have things that we care about. Let me talk to you about 5 or 10 minutes and I will find out what you care about. Even without asking you what you care about, I'll find out what you care about, because what you really care about, you'll begin to talk about it over just a little bit of time, and you'll begin to express your thoughts about it. And we all have things that we care about. I care about my wife. Somebody say amen right there. And them boys ain't going to say amen there because they don't have a wife. But I care about my wife. I care about my young'uns. Then I care about the church. And I've got that in the right order, by the way. Care about my wife and my young'uns. I had my wife before I had my young'uns. Care about my wife and my young'uns. Then I care about all of y'all. And y'all might be thinking, well, no, we're supposed to take precedence over that. No, I care about my wife and my young'uns. Then I care about the church. I care about our community. I love helping our community. I love volunteering in our community and helping in our community. We all have things that we care about today. But I want to say this to you. Our main care today should be doing the will of God and having God first in our life. You know what God said? The last thing that God said to us was, go ye into all the world and preach the gospel. His last concern, or his last words, his last thoughts to us should be our first concern. It's what we should be focused on, and that is reaching our world and reaching our community with the gospel of Christ. I said this morning, I'll say it again tonight. There's a lot of good old boys that's going to die and go to hell if somebody don't tell them about Jesus. Now, I asked you this question: will their blood be on your hands when you get to heaven? Because the Bible plainly states that there'll be blood required at our hands if we don't share the gospel with them. So I began to think about this. You know, we need some men. God give us some people like James Knox that said this. He said, or not James, but John Knox said this, give me Scotland or else I die. What about a missionary by the name of David Livingston that died, was a missionary in Africa, and whenever he died, they cut his heart out of him and flew it back to Africa and buried his heart in Africa. That's where he said he wanted his heart to be buried at, because that's where his heart was at, with the people in Africa. A missionary that gave it all for the Lord. Matter of fact, when you study Moses in Exodus chapter number 32, there was a time when Moses pretty much told the Lord, and I'm not quoting it verbatim, but he pretty much said, just let me die if you're not going to forgive Israel for the sin that they had committed. You know what? Moses was concerned, and he really did care. David said, man, I looked around, and there was no one that cared for me. When your neighbor looks around, do they say the same thing? When the person you work with looks around, do they say the same thing? When the community looks at Amazing Grace Baptist Church, do they say, well, there's a church, man, and yeah, they may be growing, but they really don't care. May God help us to have a heart that really cares tonight. That really cares tonight. I thought about this, and I've said this many times. The devil will sidetrack you on a good thing to keep you from doing the best thing. The devil will sidetrack you on a good thing to keep you from doing the best thing. That's the reason he said in the book of Hebrews, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which does so easily beset us. You know what that is saying? That's saying this. There's some things in life that is not a sin, but they are a weight, and they hinder us in the work of God. And he said to lay that to the side. To lay that to the side. I want to look at a few people in the Bible tonight and see if we can learn something about being a church that really cares. Being a church that really cares. Can I say this? Number one, if we're going to be a church that really cares, we need a burden like Nehemiah. We need a burden like Nehemiah. Listen to what the Bible said. I'm going to read you a few verses if you want to go with me to the book of Nehemiah chapter number 1. I'm going to read when I get there. But Nehemiah chapter number 1, the Bible said this in verse number 3. And they said unto me, the remnant that are left of the captivity there in the province are in great affliction and reproach. The wall of Jerusalem also is broke down, and the gates thereof are burned with fire. And it came to pass when I heard these words that I sat down and wept and mourned certain days and fasted and prayed before the God of heaven. What did Nehemiah do? Nehemiah heard about the condition of his country. And what happened to Nehemiah? Nehemiah got a burden because nobody was caring for the condition of his country. Matter of fact, the Bible said this, that Nehemiah sat down and wept and mourned certain days. I began to think about that, and one of the things that they teach you in death notifications and in chaplaincy classes is this. Whenever you go to do one, that the first thing you do, you make sure you're talking to the right person. That's pretty important. You make sure you're talking to the right person. They identify the person that you're talking to them about and say, yes, that is my son, that is my daughter, that is my spouse, whatever it may be. And then you say this, can we come in and sit down and talk to you? May we come in and sit down with you? You know, let me tell you the reason that they teach you to do that, because a lot of times when a word comes to you like that, we drop because of the shock or because of the pain or because of the grief. And I'm sure some of you in here have seen that before or even experienced that. And man, they'll go down, Brother Stan. And I've taught people before on scenes in different places, even at their houses before, when you deliver that to them. And whenever I read this about Nehemiah, he said that when he heard about the condition of his country, that's exactly what I think about Brother Heath, that he was so overwhelmed, he was so burdened because of the condition of his country, that he had to sit down and he mourned and he wept. He just didn't cry a few tears. He mourned over this. can I say something tonight? If we're going to be a church that really cares for our community, we're going to have a burden like Nehemiah. We're going to have a burden like Nehemiah. Now, I've said this before and I'll say it again. I love Surrey County. I love North Carolina. I have no desire to move anywhere else. I hope that the Lord will allow me to die right here in Surrey County. I'm sure that the day will come one day down the road that we'll probably move from being right beside the church, but I want to die in Surrey County. I've always said this. I hope this is the only church that I ever pastor. Man, when we moved here 15 years ago, we dropped roots and it become home. And when we look at our county, though, as much as I love it, when we look at our county, it needs Jesus. Our county needs God tonight. I said this last Sunday preaching, and I'm not going to walk down that road again completely, but I said this. If you was to take Narcan out of our county for 2 days, within 2 days, I'm telling you, within 2 days, Brother Brian, the morgues would be full, the morgue trailer would be full. We'd be having to bring in an air-conditioned tractor and trailer to stack the bodies in. And you say, preacher, what's the problem? They need Jesus. They need Jesus. That's the problem. You know why? We can say it's a drug, or we can say it's this, or we. Let me tell you what the problem is. It's just sin. It's sin. It started, amen, it started in Genesis chapter number 3. And we can't depend on nobody. We must have a burden like Nehemiah. He sat down, he wept, and he fasted, and he mourned before the God of heaven. Why? Because it seemed that nobody cared. The reason that Jerusalem was in the condition that she was in is because nobody cared. Nobody cared. Now, I want to say this in a practical application and bring it in right here, but I've always been taught to care. I've always been taught to care for my vehicle, to keep it clean. And I remember the first time I washed it, Mama walked out there and opened the door, Brother Gray, and she said, "You didn't wipe out the door jams." Are you with me right there? You're going to wipe out the door jams. And some of y'all going, "What do you mean you didn't? Do you let my mama teach you how to wash the car and you'll wipe the door jams out? You'll take a Q-tip and you'll clean up the vents inside of it. Well, the air blows out. Y'all wondering why you got allergies? It's because you hadn't cleaned your vents, okay? You clean the vents out. Anything you do, you take pride in it. Anything you do. And man, I've always been like that. I tell them boys at the fire department, whenever you wash a truck, man, you wash it, you dry it, you take pride in it. I'm going to say something tonight. When we look at our community, we ought to take pride in our community. But the problem is this, we've not took pride in the spiritual condition of our country, and because of that in our community, and because of that, we're in a mess tonight. If we're going to be a church that really cares, we're going to have a burden like Nehemiah. Number two, I told you I'm not going to be long. If we're going to be a church that really cares, and this is one that I struggle with right here, and I'm praying that God will help me with it, we're going to have tears like Jeremiah. Simple little thought tonight. We're going to have tears like Jeremiah. Listen to what the Bible said. Let me read you a few verses in Jeremiah tonight. Jeremiah chapter number 8, listen to what the Bible said here. You that knows the Bible knows that Jeremiah is known as what? The weeping prophet is what he's known as. Listen to what he says in chapter number 8. He says this in chapter number 8, verse number 20. The harvest is past, the summer is ended, and we are not saved. For the hurt of the daughter of my people am I hurt. I am black, astonished hath taken hold on me. Is there no balm in Gilead? Is there no physician there? Why then is not the health of the daughter of my people recovered? Verse number 1 of chapter number 9. He said, oh, that my head were waters, and my eyes a fountain of tears, that I might weep day and night for the slain of the daughter of my people. Oh, that I had the wilderness a lodging place of wayfaring men, that I might leave my people and go from them, for they be all adulterers and assembly of treacherous men. You know what he says? He says, when I look at the condition of the people around me, you know what it does? It brings me to tears. Nehemiah said, oh that my head was waters, and mine eyes fountain of tears. And I say something to you tonight. If we're going to be a church that really cares, we're going to have tears like Jeremiah. Not only are we going to have a burden like Nehemiah, we're going to have tears like Jeremiah. I read this today. It said, no tears because rebellion instead of repentance, vanity instead of victory, indifference instead of involvement, vengeance instead of a vision, laziness instead of liveliness. Tears tonight. Listen to what the Bible said in Psalms 126:6. He that goeth forth and weepeth, bearing precious seed, shall doubtless come again with rejoicing, bringing his sheaves with him. You know what he give us a guarantee to see people saved right there. He really did. Listen to this verse again in Psalms 126:6. He that goeth forth and weepeth, bearing a precious seed, shall doubtless come again with rejoicing, bringing his sheaves with him. He said, if you want to see people get saved, he said, you're going to have to go before weeping and bearing precious seed. Weeping and bearing precious seed. I want to ask you something tonight, and I'll move on, but I want to ask you something tonight, and I'm preaching to me as much as anybody right here. How long has it been since you wept over that person you're praying for? Let me just back up and ask you, who are you praying for right now? Who are you praying specifically for right now that God will save them? If you had to think right there, then man, something's wrong. Who are you praying specifically for right now that God will save them and change their life? Now let me ask you this next question. How long has it been since you shed a tear for them? You say, well, I'm just not a crying person. You know what? There's a lot of people in life that's really not a crying person, but if we'll really get a burden like Nehemiah, what did he do? He sat down and what wept. When we really get a burden, it will cause us to have tears like Jeremiah. He has tears like Jeremiah. What did he say again in Psalms? He that goeth forth, what weepeth? Goeth forth and weepeth, bearing precious seed. It's not just that we go to the door and put a gospel track on that door. It's not just that we go to a door and hang a door hanger on that door. Miss Leslie, remind us to order some more of those tomorrow. It's not just that we do that, but it's that we weep before we do that. What causes weeping? That burden is what causes it. Number three tonight, if we're going to be a church that really cares. David said, it seemed that no man cared for me. Number three tonight, if we're going to be a church that really cares, there's going to have to be the willingness like Isaiah. There's going to have to be a burden like Nehemiah. There's going to have to be tears like Jeremiah. But can I say this to you tonight? There's going to have to be a willingness like Isaiah. There's going to have to be a willingness like him. You know, when you study Isaiah chapter number 5, there's a phrase that comes up about two or three times, and here's what it is. Woe unto them. Woe unto them. Chapter 6 of Isaiah rolls around, and Isaiah says this, I saw the Lord lifted up. Nehemiah or Isaiah got his eyes off of everybody else in chapter number 5 when he went to chapter number 6. And he said, I saw the Lord. And here's what he said after he saw the Lord, woe is me. Woe is me. You see, when you're looking at everybody else, you'll be woeing everybody else. But when you really get a glimpse of the holiness of God, you'll be woeing yourself. Somebody say amen right there. Boys, holler amen for me and help me right there. Somebody say amen. Amen. You'll say, woe is me. And when Isaiah got a vision of himself and a vision of God, you know what he said? Listen to what he said in Isaiah chapter number 6. Let me just read it to you. Verse number 8, also I heard the voice of the Lord saying, whom shall I send and who will go for us? Then said I, here am I, send me. Then said I, here am I, send me. I'm talking about a willingness like Isaiah. Here am I, Lord. Here am I. You know what I've been praying, and I've said this a couple of times. And we have not because we ask not. So I'm asking and I'm trusting God to answer it. I've been praying for some more preachers around Amazing Grace. Been praying for some more. You said, preacher, well, we still got Brother Heath here. I've been praying for some more preachers around Amazing Grace. Yeah, man, it's been a while since anybody surrendered to preach at Amazing Grace. You say, well, preacher, I don't know about all of that. God never used me. Here am I, send me. If you fit the qualifications of a preacher, and there is still qualifications in the Word of God. Number one, you got to be a man. You say, well, I don't agree with that. Well, God's the one made the story here. He's the one who wrote the book. He wanted people to not listen to 3 hours of preaching, so he called men. Randy said, amen. You got to be a man. I believe you got to be the husband of one wife according to the Word of God. And if you fit the qualifications of a preacher and you're sitting here tonight, you should have surrendered to preach at some point in your life. I didn't say God called you to preach, but you should say, Lord, here am I, send me. You said, preacher, you don't know how old I am. Well, we learned some ages in the men's prayer room tonight. You said, preacher, you don't know how old I am. It don't matter how old you are. God didn't put a limitation on that. Here am I, send me. Here am I, send me. And you know, a lot of times we read that right there and stop in Isaiah chapter 6, verse number 8. But listen to the beginning of verse number 9. And he said, that's the Lord. And he said, go. And he said, go. Isaiah said, Lord, here am I, send me. And God said, well, go. Said, preach, I really want to do something for God. Have you volunteered to do something for God? Preach, I really want to do something. Preacher, how many tracks is in your vehicle? How many tracks have you give out this week? You see, and here's one thing, and I'm not going to preach long here. I promise you I'm not. I don't think. But here's one thing that we get all mixed up. Before God will ever let you be faithful over many things, you got to prove you can be faithful over a few things. Prove you can be faithful over a few things. I'm going to give an illustration here, and if anybody gets mad at me, then, well, it's probably not the first time, okay? A while back, I told Miss Leslie, Haley had graduated from high school, and we was watching her, and then she went off to college, didn't go off to college, but she went to college and finished college and she started teaching in elementary. Are you still in elementary, or have you moved up to college? You're still in elementary. She started teaching, which you can go teach high school too, can't you? She started teaching, and I told Miss Leslie, I said, we're going to give Haley some things to do. And I just started giving her little things to do. Miss Leslie would say, hey, would you do this? Hey, would you do that? Hey, Haley, would you run by and change the church sign? Here's where all the letters is at. Would you put something on it? I'll be glad to, preacher. Anything that you have, preacher, I'll be glad to. Hey, Haley, can you stand up, preacher? I'll be glad. Haley, can you come help us with that? I'll be glad to. I'll be glad to. Well, Haley, I tell you what, here's all the letters. Why don't you just do the sign all the time? She keeps up with the sign. She does it all the time now. Not long ago, Miss Debbie had to step down out of her Discovery Bible Club class with Brother Joe's health, and there's some times that they can't be here. And she said, preacher, I'm just not able to put my whole heart into it. You know who we put into that place? It was that young lady that we watched grow up at the church that had just been faithful. That had just been, you know what she was saying? And saying, preacher, I'll fix the church sign. Here am I, send me. You know what she was saying, and preacher, I'll go stay in the nursery. Here am I, send me. You know what she was saying on Sunday mornings when we needed somebody to fill in the class? Here am I, send me. Somebody hearing the preacher tonight? Here am I, send me. Here am I, send me. Preacher, you need somebody to clean the toilets? Here am I, send me. And you know what's happened? She's proven to the preacher and to God that she can be faithful. And now she's working in a class every Wednesday night in Discovery Bible Club. Here am I, send me. Here am I, send me. You know what God said? And he said, go. Right. Now, I want to say this to you, and I'm going to give you the last point, and we'll be done. I want to say this to you. When you say, here am I, send me, he may just say, go. Right. He may just say, go. I remember Robert calling me one Saturday night, Brother Robert did. We was cooking barbecue chicken. We'd been cooking barbecue chicken since Friday night, Friday afternoon, really, about 6 o'clock. We'd cooked all night long, and I guess we was cleaning up then whenever he called me that Saturday evening. And he said, hey, he said, would you come preach for us in the morning? He told me who he was, and I said, well, I've got prayer obligations. I was a youth pastor. I was full-time at Northwood at that time. I said, I got prayer obligations, and I said, I'll just have to, number one, talk to my pastor and see if he cares if I do, and number two, if I can get somebody to cover all of my things, because I'm supposed to be faithful where God had put me at, and as long as I can get all those things covered, and the pastor said it was okay, then that would be fine. And that's one thing I'll have to give Brother Heath. He's never went out and preached, and he's never even took a meeting until he called me and said, preacher, is it okay if I'm gone this day? And I've always said, man, as long as you got your bases covered, hammer down. I've told him and told him and told him. Matter of fact, not long ago we had a long talk about this. I never want to hold you back from what God has for your life. I want to hold him back from now on, but God may have something different for him in the future. And I've told him, I said, so I told Brother Robert, I said, hey, look, come start playing. That's not what I told Brother Robert. You sit still. Miss Tanya, you go play. I said, let me see if I can get my bases covered, and I holler back at you, and I got them covered, and hollered back at him, and God had been working in my heart a little bit. My desire had always been to pastor. After we had got married, we'd went into missions, and one of the biggest problems that I saw in Rock of Ages with what we done was we'd go in, preach, see several people saved, and then we would leave. And I always had a desire, Brother Aaron, to discipleship. And matter of fact, I still love that discipleship, the discipleship part of it. And some of you, I'm probably going to be talking to you over the next couple of weeks, just a couple individual, probably 5 or 6 different people. And I'm going to do a study for new people in my office on Sunday mornings during Sunday school here before long. I wish we had a place that we could do another class for that, but we just can't right now. The Lord will let us in days to come. But I'll never forget that Saturday night. I prayed and asked the Lord to give me my thoughts. And I came up here and I preached that Sunday morning. Brother Easter was not able to be here. I preached that Sunday morning. Some of y'all heard me tell the story. We went out, and whenever we drove off the property here, we turned left, and Miss Leslie said, well, what do you think? And I said, well, I don't know. She said, well, be something if God puts us up here pastoring one day. And I said, yeah, it would. And I said, Lord, if you want me to be there, I'll go there. And I was sincere until about 4 weeks later. He said, go. Until 4 weeks later. And he said, the first Sunday morning I preached here, there was more on the buses at Northwood than there was here in church. And I'm just being honest with you. I'm not knocking or throwing curveballs. I'm just being real with you. I preach more in our youth church on Sunday mornings. I had more in teenage Bible study on Thursday night than was here on Sunday morning. And I said, yeah, Lord, I'll go. And he said, go. And I thought, now, matter of fact, from the first time I preached here, there was another church in Virginia that had called us. I'd went up there and preached a Sunday morning and Sunday night. They was talking to us about coming there. Matter of fact, the first Sunday I was there, it was probably 250, 275 people. Everything there was paid for. They had a parsonage that was paid for. They bought the pastor a new vehicle every 2 years. I mean, it was a quote-unquote pastor's dream. They was asking me to come take the church. I was okay with God saying go there. I'm talking about if we're really going to care. We got to have the willingness like Isaiah. And I'll never forget, God said, go. Me and Brother Robert talked. Me and Brother Easter, I went to his house and sat with him several times and talked to him. And the night they voted us in as pastor, God put all of it, made all of it come to pass. And I said all that to say this, it's easy to say, here am I, send me, until he says, go. So when you say, Lord, I'll preach. If he says go, don't be like Jonah. Don't run from it. Don't go the other way. God's telling you to do something in your life. God's telling you to witness somebody. If God's telling you to give a tract, man, he comes right down the bare to the bare minimum of this thing, handing somebody a gospel tract. If God says do it, do it. Willingness. Here am I, send me. Lord, just send me. God, let me do something. You say, preacher, I really want to do something. You know what the Bible says? We have not because we ask not. You say, God, let me do something. God, I want to do something. If we're going to be a church that really cares, I'm closing. We've got to have a burden like Nehemiah. We've got to have tears like Jeremiah. We've got to have willingness like Isaiah. But I say this in closing. We've got to have a love like Jesus. We've got to have a love like Jesus. And Jesus, the love that he had, didn't stop with a man that lived in the nice home. A lot of churches wants those that everybody wants and don't want to have nothing to do with those nobody wants. I'm going to tell you something. From the man living on the street in Mount Airy tonight to the richest man in Surrey County, there is no difference in their soul. And there should be no difference in the way we approach them. There should be, you say, well, preacher, what if somebody comes in and they've not had a bath? You know what we're going to do? We're going to love them. We're going to love them. So, preacher, what if they come in, man, and their clothes is wore out, and preacher, it's just evident they don't dress like we do? We're going to love them. So, preacher, what if they come in and it looks like a tackle box is blowed up in their face? We're going to love them. We're going to love them. Said, preacher, what if they come in and their face is wrapped up with gang tattoos? We're going to love them. We're going to love them. Said, preacher, what if they track mud in? You know what? This is just the truth. There's not hardly a week that goes by that we don't clean mud up somewhere in this church. That's one reason. One of the reasons that we're visiting the ideal of stained concrete in the new building, because it's so much easier to clean. You know what? So what if they come in? So what? You say, preacher, what if they come in and they're drunk? You know what? As long as they're not disrupting the service, we're going to love them. We're going to love them. You know what? We're going to tell them about Jesus. We're going to take them down the fellowship hall and do like Andy did with Barney, and we're going to fix them a pot of coffee and try to get them sobered up and tell them about Jesus and tell them about somebody that'll change their life. Because the truth of the matter is this, they, some of you in this room that was in that same shape before God came to where you was at. And you know what? Without the grace of God and the help of God, every one of us will be in that same state before the sun goes down tomorrow. God help us to have a love like Jesus. He walked up to that Gadara maniac. And you know what, man? He didn't judge him. You know what he done? He loved him. He loved him. No boy got saved by the grace of God, went home clothed and in his right mind. That Samaritan woman that I preached about this morning, he walked over to the well to a woman that had been married 5 times and was shacked up with a person she's with right then. You know what? Jesus didn't turn up his nose. He didn't look down his Pharisaical nose at her. You know what he said? He said, I've come to give you water that you'll never thirst again. He loved her that day. You can love the sinner without loving the sin. God help us to have a love. When the community sees our church, they ought to know it's a church that really cares. It's a church that really cares.